Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
संदीप का नोवार तो लॉन्ग गेम तो मतलब वो 380 तो वो लिखा था उसने वॉल पे कि ये 12 साल बाद की कैंप में नोबडी कैन प्ले दिस लॉन्ग गेम कि आज 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 गलत डिसीजन है आई एम ओके विद इट क्योंकि 15 साल बाद मुझे ये
Hey, listener, and welcome to a brand new episode of Injury Time, your one-stop shop for everything on Indian football. Well, we are back and we have someone new joining us this time around, Akash Sharma. Hey, Akash, and welcome to the show.
Hey, hi, guys.
Hi, man. How's it been? You've been in Delhi. It's cold. How's the weather treating you?
Yeah, it's been cold. I haven't left my room for ages.
Yeah, that's the pandemic and not the winter.
Yeah, a bit of both. I haven't seen the sun. And even if you see the sun here, it doesn't matter because you're still freezing.
Absolutely. And another person who's somewhat freezing is Sandeep, who joins us from Bangalore. Hey, Sandeep.
Hi. Yeah, I'm not freezing, dude. It's raining now. So I just got drenched coming back from work.
Just Bangalore things.
Yeah, just randomly decided to rain today.
Well, and the fourth member of today's panel is Shlok, who joins us from Bombay, where it's not raining, it's not winter, it's just Bombay, right?
Just Bombay, 20 degrees Celsius, standard, just temperate stuff, you know.
20 degrees Celsius, comfortable.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, things are not that same for Bengaluru FC. Sandeep, coming to you first with the big news. Carlos Quadrat has mutually decided to part ways with Bengaluru FC. Well, I remember well, you were the one who said that they would stick with him till the end of the season before letting him go. But that's not the case, right?
No, obviously, a bit of a surprise. But then again, it's not really surprising, right? The timing is surprising, but the fact that he is leaving is not surprising because we have discussed here a few times that probably that team was regressing a little bit in the last couple of years, relying too much on set pieces. Whatever worked for him was the defense. And this time, that defense has also gone. They're conceding goals. They lost yesterday, just before. It's like Carlos has done this before, but yesterday he complained about, you know, the fact that the club decided to let go of Nishu and Seran and decided to, you know, before to let go of Miku before. He was not happy. He complained last year also and again this year. So, yeah, tough for him, but not completely unexpected, to be fair. They've been quite bad.
Well, Akash, your thoughts on this Carlos parting ways with Bengaluru FC? You saw this coming?
No, I did not see this coming. I did see it coming later in the season. It is probably the right step to do, unless and until they really don't have a backup plan, which will be a bit stupid of BFC and very unlike them not to plan this. But this was a set of players that were completely underutilized in this setup. And even since last season, Bengaluru FC were pretty mechanical, functional to watch. And this season, they've regressed. Even their defensive solidity, that is what they were banking on last season, has left them completely. And that is probably what Carlos was always the most worried about. And that's why he keeps bringing it up, that Bengaluru FC changed the defense. That is what he was relying on. He keeps on saying that Bengaluru FC had the best defense last season. They had quite by far, I think, I remember correctly. But also, only Northeast United and Hyderabad scored less number of goals last season.
Right.
So on the attacking front, it's a bit of a problem for Carlos and BFC. I think have the players to play a better style of play and a more threatening style of play.
Well, Shlok, this team looked clueless to say the least, right? So far in the competition, yes, a few results have gone their way, but not the BFC that we have been used to seeing in the ISL and also previously in the I League.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they just look like a shell of the side they usually are in the ISL yesterday. And, you know, just about Quadrat sacking, I think most people would agree with me here when I say that this was probably his terminal season with BFC. Like, either it was going to be him making the top four and leaving in the end, or maybe him not doing as well and leaving towards the later stages of the season. I think BFC has just gone ahead and said, you know, let's get the process for the transition. Like, so they're in transition now. They would want, like, a good manager to take over as early as possible, so next season doesn't suffer as well. This season, whatever happens, happens. But then, you know, at least they'll build on... They'll have some time to build a proper squad going into next season or even toward the later stages of this season. Plus, they have the transfer window on their side now.
Right. Sandeep, building on from here, Naushad Musa is the first one taking the hot seat. You've seen his B team, the BFC reserves side play in the BDFA League and also a few competitions in Bangalore and other places. What do you make of him as a coach?
Well, he's pretty much what you would expect from them, because he also plays a very utilitarian style of football. What I would say is probably what happens is that the reason why Carles didn't rotate too much, or he just stuck with the players that he knew, didn't really put so much faith in the youngsters. That might change because Musa knows the B team players. Right. He knows Leon Augustine well. He knows Nangam Bhutia well. He knows Roshan, all these players very well. So probably they might get a look in. And it's about time, right? Like, how long is this Rahul Beke as a left-back, right-back, centre-back experiment going to go on? At some point, you have to get a proper left-back in place. Because right. Whatever said and done, Nishu was a left-back.
Correct.
That was his favourite position. And you have a, you know, what is his name? Biswa Darji, who can play left-back. Ajit Kumar, who you signed for so much money and have not used. And if you say that he doesn't know the way BFC defend, I don't know what that means, to be completely honest. Because it's not like they press that high or... Or if they do press that high, they don't do that much. They don't do it for that long. And Pratik Chaudhary, Carles himself said yesterday that he was not happy with the way he was defending.
Pratik Chaudhary signing came as a surprise to me, to be very frank.
Yeah.
To BFC came as a surprise to me.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't expect it, but nothing really surprised me, because the next coach coming in has got so much work to do, right? Because he has to take care of the fact that this team is underachieving. And right. He has to fix the fact that... there are older players who needs to be shown the door, and big names who right. needs to be shown the door, because they are getting older. Or even someone like Udanta. At some point, you have to cut your losses.
Correct.
Because they have helped him 6-7 years, helped him do a lot of things. But at the end of the day, he's not going to the level that he used to be. Unless the new coach coming in manages to galvanize him back to 5 goals and 5 assists that he has done before. Okay. And at some point, you have to, you know, cut your losses, change the players, and there is this big thing of Sunil Chetri as well, who's an absolute massive icon for that club. And at some point, you have to look at a succession plan.
Correct.
So all this thing comes on him. Then he has to recruit well, because Dimas probably may not go for another season. Mm-hmm. And then you have to look at the next midfielder. That two strikers are absolutely quite useless, I can say right now. Because Opsit was completely invisible, and Deshaun Brown, who got one chance, smashed it to orbit somewhere. So, you know, they have to fix all this recruitment and all this. So, they need a lot of help from the management also.
Right.
So, this season to change, if Musa manages to change it, it will be crazy.
Correct.
But I am going to throw a more crazier thing here. Like, BFC like to be the, you know, the vanguard of Indian football in so many things. Right? Like, first to be in BFC Cup Final.
Mm-hmm.
They won the league in the first season. So, give a chance to the first Indian coach. I throw my hat in for Pradyumna Reddy, because obviously I like him. And I think
correct.
He's a coach who deserves a chance as well.
Mm-hmm.
Be the first team to give an Indian coach a chance too. Like, come on, let's do this.
Well,
give him a 3-year plan, not like a 6-month deal.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, if it's for namesake, it's going to do more harm than good, right?
Go just ahead. Keep the interim then. If you're going to do it properly.
Yeah.
Well, Akash, let me take this to you. A lot of problems that Sandeep just listed down. Right from recruitment to galvanizing the squad, getting them back to playing the way BFC plays, and also probably
what is that?
Well, I'll let Akash answer that question.
You don't know.
I know what football is. I don't know what we are playing football.
No, look.
Thing
about Bengaluru FC is they've stood still for 2 years. It almost
correct.
Feels like that. If you think about when they came into ISL. They basically walked through the league. They lost mm-hmm. the final. Albert Roca's team lost the final, which was also surprising. They just lost mm-hmm. it that day at the Kantirwa Stadium.
Right.
But they walked the league very easily, right? And this is when they came from the I-League, when they finished fourth in the I-League the previous season, they came to ISL, they walked the league. Primarily, I think also because we have to keep in mind that other teams weren't good enough then.
Correct.
And this was also the season, I think this was the season when there was a draft held. So almost every team had a new squad, right? So Roca's team lost the final. Then next year, Carlos' team again cruised through the league stages, even though they finished joint top, I think, points. But they rested the players in the second half of the season. Right. We took it lightly that we are going to rest players because we don't want to afford losing another final after topping the league. Hmm. And they won the league. Now, what happened is, I think over the last two seasons, ATK Mohan Bagan have developed a very competitive squad and BFC have stood still. Now Mumbai City have developed a very competitive squad and BFC have again stood still. They haven't really gone to the next level. They have the same set of players. Parthalu and Delgado have been there for ages. Wanun has been there for ages. Your Beke, Kabra, Chetri, Udanta, everybody has been there for ages.
Right.
They've not replaced Miku. Clayton is pretty good, but still the attack is lacking because now Udanta has regressed and Ashik has been injured. But they haven't really gone to the next level, whereas an ATK Mohan Bagan and a Mumbai City have gone to the next level. So right now you're actually, so Carlos is right in that sense that it's between the two of them and they are not, they'll be chasing a playoff spot. And I think it rubbed the BFC hierarchy the wrong way when Carlos basically in the last press conference conceded it, that they're not going to be top two. Let's challenge for the rest of the places.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like he was indirectly blaming the recruitment, and I have to say the club hasn't gone to the next level. I don't know why. Maybe they were just relying too much on their senior Indian national team players.
Well, and Akash, when you say about the club not going to the next level and not signing the players, the kind of signings that we've seen other teams in the ISL do, and that makes complete sense because they haven't replaced someone like a Miku, and even in the past, their foreign striker options have not been very convincing. You had a Sean Rooney at the start of when BFC started. Then you had a Miku after a few years. Then after that, no one. And in the middle, there was no one, right, Sandeep?
No, there wasn't. I actually, I'm just checking something in terms of their recruitment. I'll just come back and Shlok will answer this question in that time.
Well, Shlok, what about the recruitment? That the BFC recruitment, it always looks really good on paper because the way they sell their players even before the season's begun. And even like if the players live up to half of the expectations that's built up, it's enough for them because the team does really well and there is always a silverware that they end up with. But that doesn't mean their recruitment has been that good. And that has shown the last two seasons.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, just as Akash said, the squad has stood still in terms of replacing the voids that they have had. I'm not going to say created because, I mean, Miku leaving or even injuries that are unpredictable, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel that someone like ATK MB or Mumbai, they see someone like Udanta regressing for a year. They say, okay, fine, let's get someone in who can compete with him toe-to-toe. At least, you know, then if he doesn't, you know, pick himself up, we have some player at least who can perform on a consistent basis. So, just that way. The whole Prateek transfer surprised me because there was no proper foreign centre-back to, you know, succeed him. I thought Prateek's going to be a backup. Mm-hmm. And he's starting, and that's very sketchy because he played for a defence last season, which was so porous, partly because of him. He's not really a great starter. He's a good backup, but putting him in that position, then the whole, you know, right-footed left-back thing. So it just makes you ask a lot of questions as to, even with their signings, what are they exactly trying to do? What is the system they're trying to create? You know, sometimes you see that they lack in creativity, you know, by not having enough creative, like, you know, Chetri isn't that creative. Then the striker isn't that creative. It's mostly Clayton trying to provide that final pass. Dimas sometimes. Defense is in disarray. So just really, what are the transfers going on? And even they weren't able to offload Deshaun Brown. So
he was signed on a year and a half contract last year.
Yeah, exactly.
Very surprising, right?
Yeah, and they wanted to let go of Rafael Augusto and Deshaun Brown. They could do Rafael Augusto, but not Brown. And on top of that, they signed Opseth, which is like really, really weird.
He's really upsetting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is the thing I was looking at. Okay.
Well, a lot of questions, Sandeep. Come with your answers now.
So since Carlos has come, I'm not you putting some of the ones who have come during Roca's time. Since Carles has come, he has recruited Luis Sima, Neely, Pedromo, Freiter, Brown, Ashik, Augusto, Clayton, Upset, Chencho, Onwu. Maybe you can even put Keane Lewis in that list.
Right.
None of them have been successful.
Hmm.
So, where is it going wrong? Like, Ashish has played a lot, but he's predominantly played as a left back. Hmm. So, where do you draw the line? Like, who's making these decisions? Augusto, the last time Augusto played well for Chennai was ages ago, before he had that knee injury. And he came and got another knee injury. So, are they looking at the medicals and are they doing proper scouting? How are they going around trying to, you know, sign players? So, that is something that probably the club as a whole has to look into.
Honestly, I feel like there's a 50-50 situation here. So, there's one aspect of it, which is the tactical side, the vision that Carles has with his system and the players that he wants. And the other aspect of it is the recruitment side, what the club allows and all. I think both of them are flawed because if it was just recruitment, maybe there would be a few lesser types of strikers which would go bad, you know. So you're like, you're signing a striker like on who's quality, but he's not fitting in the system, you know. The system doesn't favor him. So, and that's going for like almost every player that has been signed. So there has to be a question, which is, what is the system? What do you expect out of the players? What kind of players do you want? So I feel that the management may have lost patience in that sense also, that if we're giving you this much money and you're still not getting the best out of Ashik, and you know, they saw in Freiter and Nili in the middle of last season. So they're definitely putting in more money. So what's really happening when we're giving you that much backing? I think that's a question they wanted answers to, and it just wasn't there.
Well, Akash, these are big questions that the management also needs to answer. But what about Nawshad Musa? He's walked into a situation where things doesn't look that good. And he has a set of players that he has to play with and try to change things for BFC and help them make the playoffs at least. How difficult a job do you see this?
I think it's going to be difficult. I think it depends on the relationships. I think in the similar way where FC Goa were operating with Sergio Lobera and his foreigners.
Right.
Basically, a lot of the voices coming in from the club was that the foreign players take the lead in terms of the style of play and everything. And that's the same thing that BFC is going to go ahead with. I mean, Nawshad Musa is not going to change a lot of things. And I still think, even if Carles has been sacked, I think if he continued, BFC would have finished third. That's the interesting part of this, that BFC probably still would have finished third, even with a very weird season thus far. A lot of matches in which they've struggled. Goa and NUFC have come from behind. They were dominated by Hyderabad with two foreigners less.
Right.
And even when
he scored two goals in that match.
Yeah, and even while chasing a game against Mohan Bagan, they were struggling. I don't think they had a shot while chasing a game against Mohan Bagan the entire second half. But even with this sort of style of play, I think BFC would have finished third. And it's a bit of a risk because I think third is also giving BFC an AFC spot, right? Is that correct? If I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Hai na? So there.
No,
this
actually
is a,
no. Second,
right? Yeah.
I-League. Now that Bagan and those teams are not there, then I-League is not important to AFF anymore. So third is going to be there, correct?
No, but I-League, I think I-League topper still gets it.
AFC playoff, the I-League topper ko milta hai na?
Third position is...
Bookmark this, okay.
Second ko nahi milta, I thought finalist ko ek...
See, there's no point in bookmarking this because AFF changes things according to their whims and runs.
Yeah, the finalist gets one, the league topper gets Champions League, and the third place team generally goes in. What should have been for I-League?
Let's go with BFC.
For sure, okay. For sure.
AFC sort.
They'll say all this in the end, suddenly one mail will come. This team has been selected.
No, it actually, I think it matters. If third position was not going to AFC, which is very bad on all of us that we don't know this.
None of us know this.
But I think.
Hey man, AFF doesn't know this, man. Like, we shouldn't be.
I think the I League winner gets a spot. But last time it was merged. It went to an ISL side because the two clubs merged. I think we should just Google it.
The second division is getting a spot. Like, would you give a championship club a Champions League spot? No, right.
No, they'll make sure that it goes to the...
Yeah, like, it's going to go to some ISL club only, I think.
Akash, your thought.
Wait, no,
Akash has lost his train of thought.
He's in Google. But I'll say, while he searches for this in Google, the one interesting thing Akash brought up is what Goa has done, who lost their coach and their top foreigners. Mm-hmm. What they have gone and done is do meticulous research and find the right players. Not a single player that whoever recruited, you can look and say he's a failure.
Right.
It includes the Indian boys also. Look at Romario, who's made an amazing impact. They brought in Xavier Gama, who's playing consistently now. Sanson is playing consistently now.
Ishan Pandita.
I'm not going to talk about him. One goal does not change my opinion. But nevertheless, what they're doing is, that's a club that has run well. They got the right coach. They got the right recruitment. And this is recruitment for the Champions League.
Right.
And whatever happens, even if Goa doesn't finish in top four, because it's going to be one of those leagues this year where all the 3 to 8 that anyone can win, because none of them are really consistent.
Right.
So even if they don't get it, you can see there is progression in the way they play. And like today, for example, East Bengal scored through that absolutely outstanding individual effort from that new signing, Pride.
Right.
So, you know, but they can BFC do this, replicate it, because they were so good at it, because they had such a good core for such a long time. Mm-hmm. And Ashley had done such a good job in converting these Indian players into international level players.
Right.
For the national team. And they had that core who went on for a few years. Now, Reno Anto is gone. The Eugenson is gone. Now, Sunil is there. Udanta is there. Gurpreet is someone who has been brought in later on, but he's there. Amrinder, who was such a big part of their AFC Cup run. I don't get why nobody gives him as much as rating as Gurpreet. But he's absolutely brilliant. All these guys are slowly, slowly going away, or the ones who are there are aging. So, they need to get the next round of youngsters to come through. And,
have they waited a bit too long? Because at the end of last season, this looked like the time that BFC would start that transition and you would see a lot of changes happen in the squad. But coming into the season, you didn't see that happen, Shlok.
Yeah, I feel that they did wait a bit too long. I can see that they tried to sign Ashik and, you know, they were trying to get this thing going where they try to energize the club with some young signings. Maybe give them a year or two before they have to axe out the older players. I think with Moirang and Zuhair Liana, that's kind of what they're building on this year as well. But it's always difficult, you know, because you can't bench people like Chetri and Gurpreet. You know, Gurpreet, again, he's someone who, he's not going to get benched, but like Udanta or some, you know, big players who have performed in the past, it's a tough decision to just bench them and put on like an 18, 19 year old out and say, you know, maybe he's going to perform. It's so again, I feel like, it's not wrong of them to wait this long. There is logic in it, but it's not gone their way, unfortunately.
Well, Akarsh, is the third team in ISL getting the AFC Cup?
Still haven't been able to find it.
Yeah, that's Indian football.
All the results are of this season, which, you know, for the 2021 AFC Cup. Not
correct.
Yeah, they won't announce this now. They'll give that carrot for I-League until they take the
time. So let's go with that. Let's go with this thing that the third team in the ISL league table will get that AFC slot. Go on, Akarsh.
So I was basically making a point that it's a huge risk that Bengaluru FC have taken by sacking Carlos mid-season, because they might even lose the third spot, because Carlos would have got them the third spot.
Right.
Basically, he would have patched up something or the other, got eked out the results. Somehow or the other, the other sides are not good enough to actually get those results ahead of BFC. So that is what has been surprising. And now Naushad Musa is in a place where he can't really change much. He has to stick to what he has. And I think we're not going to see a different BFC unless he takes a bit of risks, unless he introduces a couple of fresh faces. But largely right now, I think teams know how to get to BFC. They know how BFC plays.
Right.
And it's easy to stop them. And it's easy to counter them as well.
Well, last aspect of this Carlos parting ways with BFC, guys. Naushad Muda, yes, but like Sandeep mentioned, could we see BFC name of Indian head coach?
Let's go for this. I'm campaigning for this.
Yeah, Pradyum Reddy is someone that Sandeep says, but apart from him, are there worthy contenders among the Indian coaches to take over the role that Carlos has left now? Shlok.
Dude, I'm the wrong person to ask because I don't know many Indian coaches, to be fair. But I mean, there are those ones with the pro licenses, right? I think that's like around 10 or so, maybe more. So
there are quite a number of them, but
probably more. Yeah.
The question depends on how they have performed in the
right. Exactly. Yeah. So again, it's like if they're going to give the freedom to the coach and give him time to build a squad, because this is a process that's going to take quite a bit of time, maybe 2 years as well, to get them back to that top of the table kind of side that they want to be. Only then should they actually campaign for a coach who's going to stay for long term. Or else, as Sandeep said, just make them an interim coach, keep the ship steady till they figure out a foreign recruitment, and then bring that person in. There's no point in like just bringing an Indian coach, hyping him up, and then, you know, not giving him the freedom or the budget that he wants.
Right. Like interim coach ki baat hai, toh Naushad Muda is not a bad option there, Sandeep.
Yeah, till the end of the season, sure.
Yeah.
Why
but
not?
Beyond that, how do you see if Pradyum ends up taking this role, how do you see him go about his business here? Because a lot of things in Indian football also depends on the kind of foreigners the team signs.
See, like Shlok said, it's a 2-3 year process. So you have to give him that time.
Mm-hmm.
More importantly, even like while I say Pradyum, there are others also. Like if you look at the I-League history,
mm-hmm.
the people who won it the most, Armando Colasso, Sanjay Sen twice, with Aizawl, Khalid Jameel.
Khalid.
So the number of times.
Santosh Kashyap was
one. Yeah, so the number of times a foreigner has won it, I think Indians have won it more than foreigners.
Mm-hmm.
So I am not sure about the number, but I think it's one more if you can add the first division, second division, everything together.
Mm-hmm.
So they have been quite successful in India with the Indian players. So if you get it, like Pradyum got traced of it with Pune. But again, that was like the second half of season. He was sort
right.
of like in that role from TD to
mm-hmm.
this one. So do you need to find a coach? I think the biggest advantage would be the knowledge that these come with for Indian player, especially going into next season when there is only going to be four foreigners.
Mm-hmm.
So every team will have to lose one guy for sure. And then concept probably get one or two Indian players more into the squad. So how do you go about recruiting? A foreigner will come and you will put an Indian guy as an assistant to him. Why not get two Indians who really, really know what is happening, what is happening in the Mizo Premier League and knows the history of players, who's going to sign where and what kind of a character are they? Because the biggest asset to BFC is that their mentality has always been champion mentality. That's championship caliber mentality. Fight 90 minutes, nothing's too impossible, rise to challenges, all those kind of things. And that comes through mainly comes through the Indians that was there in that team. That Sunil and Eugene before, Gurpreet now, even Khabra for that matter, who fights for the entire 90 minutes. So you need that. You need
and
to.
Khabra literally that. Fights.
Yeah, but that's the thing, right? Like, that's his role in the team. He's the supporting guy. But
yeah.
So you need that bunch of people who...
Like, goes around punching people.
What are you talking about? They need to maintain that mentality. How do you transition to a new bunch of youngsters? Now, Suresh looks like the real deal, but that's one guy. You need a bunch of others coming in. How do you transition that? That is going to be very, very important. And for that, I think I'm just campaigning because I did the same thing when Hyderabad lost Roka. I was like, yeah, the Indian coach and all, but I already knew that they were talking to another Roka to replace the original Roka. But like, you know, it's good fun to call these guys out. Like Parth told us a long time ago, we want to contribute 11 players to the national team, 22 Indian players. Now start with one coach.
Correct. Tall claims, a lot of expectations. We'll have to wait and watch how BFC goes about its business. But one team that hasn't changed in this new year is Mohan Bagan, ETK Mohan Bagan, however you call them.
Wait, can I make one point? Sorry, can I make one point?
Okay, Akash, go ahead. One last point.
First, I cracked Google. So, I-League has done a special dispensation for 3 years.
Okay.
So, essentially, I think when Bengaluru FC are looking towards the long term, that if they're going to look in the top two spots, then might as well start anew. The other thing is, it's a pandemic season, and unless there is a coach in the bubble itself, they'll have to go through quarantine period for 14 days. So let's say even if Bengaluru FC decides to find a new foreign coach in a pandemic, and if the coach joins by January last week or third week, and they're probably going to take the team over from February.
Yeah.
So I also think maybe they are setting up for the AFC tournament rather than the ISL itself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the thought process is. It seems to be a very not an impulsive but a very fast trigger decision that has been taken at Bengaluru FC. So let's see how it goes.
But coming to Mohun Bagan now, guys, I'm excited about this new year, same old team. 2-0 win over Northeast United.
Did you just say Mohun Bagan and excitement in the same sentence?
Mohun Bagan is the...
Joy, Mohun Bagan. Okay. A 2-0 win over Northeast United. Akash, let's start with you this time around. No, Roy Krishna scoring again. Is that a surprise anymore?
No, the surprise was Camara losing him on the corner. And imagine if that was an Indian player. And I think the broadcasters and the commentators would have...
You can say Paul Maysfield, man. It's okay.
Paul Maysfield, of course, would have been right ahead of everybody in doing that. No surprises. It was the same old format for Mohun Bagan. Very, very tight. But it was an interesting strategy to play Prabir right wing go with a 4-3-3, I think it was. And in general, they seem to have progressed very well. Habas has been true to his words. Initially, he was very defensive and he used to get very defensive in his press conferences when anybody would ask that, are you too defensive? So he would always say, I've not got enough time to train to a new style with this set of players. And then gradually he's progressed. He's actually moved from 3 at the back to 4 at the back and a 4-1-4-1 and a 4-3-3 and adapted to different teams and pressed teams like Goa. So it's been more than just a very boring defensive style. But I still can't stand it.
Very pragmatic. Okay. But Shlok, this really nicely sets up the next match, right? Mohun Bagan versus Mumbai City FC.
Yeah, very much so. And then, you know, you have like these small facts like, you know, no Jahu for Mumbai. Because Jahu was being Jahu.
You knew he was getting sent off, right? The moment he got the yellow card.
Yeah.
You knew, right?
I have a very controversial take on that, but like, I'm not sure if right now is the right time to say it.
Because they were trying to get him sent off. Is that the controversial take?
No, he's taking a break. A controversial take on the coming match.
Go ahead. Put the controversial take.
Yeah, so I have a feeling we would be better off without Jahu in that game.
Okay.
So you don't pass around in the final, in the last third?
Yeah, so he's not the most mobile defender, right? A mobile midfielder. I would rather have like Rowland Rainier and then play a foreigner on the wing like Sai Godard or someone. Because what I've seen from Mohun Bagan is that they're going to man-mark your midfield. So either Jao is going to go back into our defensive third to get possession. And then we have to break down a low block and pass on the wings. And they're going to give us a 2v1 there because they'll have their fullback and their midfielder. Or else he will have to shake off his marker, which is tough because there's like Carl McHugh and whatnot. He's not the quickest player in that sense. You know, he's good with his turns, but he's not very quick. So I have a feeling Rainier might be better in that sense, who can kind of break through the midfield instead of just passing.
The last time Jahu missed a game, I think Santana played in this position.
Yeah.
You're not expecting that to happen?
Because I don't feel that we need as much defensive solidity in this match. You know, ATKMV is not going to push as many men forward as...
But they press at the front three, no? They press very well with the front three.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes they sit, sometimes they press. It's hard to tell. If Santana's playing in the back line, I feel that progression is not that much of a problem anyway because he's going to get the ball.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And then Rainier, in general, is someone who can progress the ball because he's good at dribbling, he's good at passing. Less press resistant than Jahu and all, but still, it's something I would want to see. Just
well, we interesting. Can hope that, yeah. We can hope that Lubera is listening to everything you're saying right now and can see that in future. But New Year saw East Bengal win their first match, guys, Sandeep, and then today they ended up drawing the second one.
They had a red card though today, right? I mean, I'll be honest, I didn't see today's game because I was a little bit busy.
What about the 3-1 win over Odisha?
Yeah, it's against Odisha. Why do people keep forgetting this? It's like they didn't beat...
It was East Bengal who won a match.
Sure, but this is the same. Like, this is all in the... People have to look at it in context. Like, they beat the worst team. Even there, they conceded one goal.
Correct.
And I think Odisha probably could have scored more if they were
more clinical.
So
That is true. Actually, Odisha had the most number of shots for any team, I think, in that game, which is extraordinary for East Bengal to sort of still win 3-1.
Yeah.
Tells
you
a lot about Odisha and their problems in finishing.
Akash is still hitting Odisha.
Akash should talk about East Bengal. He's the guy. Mohan Bagan guy. Like, I'm like, that team is amazing to watch. Like, strangle you and then score one goal. Like,
I can talk about Odisha.
That's what I said. Akash's favorite team, Odisha.
Yeah, of course. It's
I love Odisha too.
It's great a walking running tourism project. I don't know why they have the tourism sponsors in the name itself. But maybe the state name is enough in themselves. But East Bengal, you have to give credit to them still. They've generally progressed game on game decently well. And even today, I thought Fowler did not have in him to sort of surprise his ego and play on a counter-attacking strategy against Goa, because that wasn't very visible in his previous matches, which was a welcome change, which was an intelligent change, which means he's not just there for a sort of his imposing his style of play or something like that, or a template where he's very rigid. So he did well, and I think East Bengal was very competitive, and they took the lead. And obviously, as is East Bengal's luck these days, 30 seconds later they conceded. And
they just conceded.
Yeah,
but that's Goa also, right? They keep chasing the game until eventually they
score. Like, a lot of decisions went against East Bengal today. Like,
I think it's better we not talk about decisions because it's just going
haywire. Yeah, it's just like, in the end, it's just going to average out. Like, every team will have like at least 5 fucked up decisions.
Sorry, tell me something. Do you guys not agree with the red card? What I saw of that tackle, that was a red card, no?
I think he didn't pull out also, right? In that kick.
No, so from the referee's point of view, I can see how that was a red card, but like, if you know, how do I put it, man? Like, the camera angle we got is not like a red card offense, but the way the referee saw it with that angle, and you see starts up going in, I don't think he entirely saw Fox getting the ball either. So maybe Fox
got the ball and then follow through took the player out.
Yeah,
he was 2-footed off the ground.
Was he?
It looked like a dangerous tackle from what I saw.
Yeah,
like not dangerous. Like, he didn't have any control of what he was doing. Like,
yeah.
So and even the Eugene red card looked like a red card. I don't know why the
Eugene red card looked like a red card. Yes,
just
like 2 fouls.
Yeah, that's my Eugene red card is my example of why referees will always be thrown under the bus. It doesn't matter if you get VAR, even after replays. If you are still arguing that Eugene red card was not a red card, then there's no point of VAR. Yeah. It's not going to
change. VAR is not a solution. Like, one, you can't afford it. Two, it's pointless in India.
Yeah, the implementation is still going to be a problem.
But I have always had this thing, okay? Like, I'm going on a philosophical rant now. So
you want technology?
So, no, I don't want technology. Football, the whole point, like, I'm a Chelsea fan, right? I felt so hard, annoyed when Barcelona did 3 handballs and 1 foul and shit in the box in the Champions League final. And we lost that game because Iniesta scored a worldie at the end. And then to wait all those years later and go to Camp Nou and beat them by defending for 95 minutes. It makes me feel good. And it's fair, right? Sometimes the life is like, you have nothing you can do. Sometimes the day is just bad. The defender has a bad day, referee has a bad day, somebody has a bad day. You sort of cop the consequences.
Well,
I think it's
if,
okay.
If it's someone like a Koyimoto Srikrishnan, your bad days are more than your good days.
He had a good game yesterday, except for that penalty decision.
Not just the penalty decision. There were other decisions like which were very questionable. And it's not just this match. Sorry for singling him out, but the matches that I've seen him officiate, there have been a lot of questionable decisions that he scored.
Okay, pay him more and give him more training, then he'll do better.
But that's something AF is supposed to do.
Ah, so then we can't sit and bitch about it because, you know, obviously they're not looking after the referees.
Well, we are not bitching about it. We are going into a break right now and we'll be back because there are 4 more teams that we need to talk about. Okay, business. So go on and come back pretty soon. Hey, listener, and welcome back to Injury Time, your one-stop shop for everything on Indian football. We continue on with Chennai and FC first up. 2 matches for them in the new year so far. First, a 4-1 loss to Hyderabad and then a goalless draw against Mohan Bagan. That Hyderabad game, guys, it was a delight to watch, Akash, isn't it?
If you are not a Chennai and FC fan, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, yeah, it just exposed Chennai's dependency on Crivellaro. He was injured, he was out. And when Chennai moved forward, they really didn't have anybody to sort of be creative and hold the ball or pose a threat. And they got badly exposed at the back. That's pretty much it. Basically, it was also against Chennai was also against playing against a team which was very Chennai in itself. Hyderabad is one of those who'll still go for goals, who'll lead, but yeah, they'll still counter with great enthusiasm. And they basically did what Chennai doesn't do in other games, is basically they finished off their chances.
Correct.
And Chennai's template hasn't changed. It's amazing. Your coach has changed. But it seems to be the same thing season on season. Last time, Valsky's clicked in the second half of the season. I can't see Yakub clicking the same way. Although Yakub does well in contributing elsewhere, in mm-hmm. setting up and creating chances. But it's a very weird thing. You can't even blame a coach for Chennai and FC, because they're creating chances. They're having fun.
But just not scoring goals.
Yeah, they're one of the best teams to watch. Even against Mohan Bagan, ATK Mohan Bagan, they were the better side. And they finished nil-nil. It's a very curious thing. And I think from an Indian football standpoint also, they do really well. The amount of chances they give to young players, or they're developing young players. It's just very weird. It's very inexplicable the way Chennaiyan is where it is at this point in the table, and with the number of points and with the goals they've scored. It's less than the number of games they've played. It's extraordinary.
Right. Sandeep, in the past, something that we always banged upon is Chennaiyan improving with the season, because since they have a new setup with a new coach and a few new players, a team that we have always discussed about going against the tide, going to West Asia, getting players from Central Asia rather than go as Spanish and Australian. Do you still hold on to that thought, or have your thoughts changed having seen them play in the past few matches?
No, not really. I mean, it's like Akash says, it's such a difficult team to call, because when you ask the coach, the two of the best coaches to talk to, and mm-hmm. bar none, is Sabal Aslo and Manolo Marquez. Mm-hmm. Those two are honest, and they will give you these long-winded answers which makes everything clear what they're trying to do. But the fact of the matter is, now, Sabal Aslo very clearly said, I am working with Chante and Raheem Ali to improve, separately working with them to improve their finishing. And he gave examples of what he's trying to do to help their finishing and all. And if they still don't do it in the game, there is only so much he can do. Like, he is getting them to goal scoring positions. Now, the last thing is to score. Now, Chante yesterday missed a chance, pulled up his shirt, and there was something written on his in the shirt inside. So I'm pretty sure he's waiting to score and then lift it up to show a message or something.
Yeah.
But you have, even that motivation is not enough. I don't know. So how can you blame the coach? It's just one of those things, I guess.
Even that Eli Sabia mistake, it's just like those unpredictable things.
Right.
It just happens.
And how often have you seen Hali Charan score a goal like that?
Dude.
So that's Constantine that.
And Manolos came out and said, "We should sack me because I changed the formation, and that's why we lost the previous game."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Goa one.
And from there to come here and beat 4-1 or whatever that scoreline was,
correct.
Pretty impressive. Fan of both coaches, huh? Like, very enjoyable press conferences.
Super fun to watch, right? Shlok, CFC, and also Hyderabad. Hyderabad, the new era, seen them lost to Goa 2-1, a goal that was scored in probably the last kick of the match. They decided to score a goal because that's what they've been doing in the past few matches. Sans one.
Yeah, I mean, it's great of them to just come. Like, I'll be honest, I have like this soft spot for Hyderabad, man, just the way they're doing whatever they're doing this season.
Yeah, you are a big Akash Mishra fan. You understood.
For what it's worth, I like Aradane more, but It's one of those games where it's just like these little things click for you, and you know, for the opposition, they don't. You look
like
at
India-Thailand AFC Asian Cup game.
Yeah, exactly. That was also 4-1, dude. Like,
yeah, clicked, then unclicked.
Just clicked, yeah.
Then nothing clicked.
X click should be a metric.
Can you do something about it?
Yeah, let's see. So anyway, it's like that João Victor goal, Nazari goal, all that kind of shit. Even the Kianese goal at the start, it just like those don't go in that usually. You know, like usually the defense clears it out or whatever. But Chennai, unfortunately, they conceded, and then the last two goals they conceded because they're pushing forward after they got that one goal. Because Katti money, just what can I say? But,
there's nothing else. Katti money on top.
Yeah.
What a player.
But I mean, it's great to see Hyderabad winning again. Great. I want them to make top four because they're very entertaining to watch. Mm-hmm. And I don't want two other teams in BFC and Goa to make top four. So that's the other reason.
Yeah. there's another factor motivating him not to see Hyderabad make the top four. But one of the teams that you mentioned, Slow Goa, they've had a decent run so far, right? Two wins, two late goals in against Jamshedpur and also Hyderabad. Today, unfortunately, that happened, but they did come back to draw 1-1.
It was a late goal. I mean, I genuinely sometimes I don't know what exactly is up with them. Like, I'm thinking, why do they score so late? Or, you know, what system are they going with this? It just stumps me sometimes. I feel certain times there isn't enough verticality in them. Meaning, this is something a commentator said today. Edubedia is coming too deep to get the ball. And when you usually have a midfielder advance up, you know, like say there was a Jahu in that team, Bedia would be playing higher up. And that way you are progressing through the defense in a better manner. But then that's not happening. They're just passing behind the block, and you know, they're just not getting into those central areas as much. I think that is one of Goa's issue, because you can see that they have like that quality in them, you know, in possession and that efficiency and all, but it's just getting wasted in some way or the other. I think it's just that they keep probing and finally a chance comes up for them and they manage to score. That's why it's late. There'll be times where they score early also. It's just going to average out later on.
Well, Akash, what is the end goal with this Goa team for this season, at least in the ISL? Yes, there is a Champions League to look forward to, but in the ISL this season, where do you see them end and how do you see them end?
Well, they'll probably make the playoff spots. They're good enough that way, probably because they have a striker that will likely finish top of the league. And it is very interesting that whenever you think about Goa, you think there is Angulo, and then who's next if he gets injured? There used to be nobody. Everybody would say, tell me there's Devendra. And I would say, can he come up with the goods? And today he scored a header. And he did. So it seems Goa have their backup Indians prepared well. Mm-hmm. But in general, Goa's... The problem with Fernando is that he's coming from a very high benchmark. I think Lobera has set a very high benchmark. I think like for like, if you're looking at replacing a Jahu, Bhumu... and a Murtada fall, it's close to impossible right now. And a Naguera isn't a Bumu. An Edu Bedia is not a Jahu, nowhere near. And Angulo, even the most probably the most controversial take, Angulo is also not a Koro. Koro used to be at the center of a lot of build-up play. He used to actually make a lot of space and a lot of chance, create a lot of chances for even a Manvir or a Bumu to latch on to. And Angulo is not that player. Angulo is somebody who needs the build up to be done, and he'd be the last touch of the move.
Right.
I think like for like, we are expecting too much of Fernando. It's just how Goa's 6 years have been with Zico and Lobera. I think we should cut some slack to Fernando, to be honest. And even their defense today, Bright just walked through the defense, starting with Princeton making no tackle. I think it was Princeton, right? Princeton making no tackle, and then your two foreign center backs just folded. So it's a slightly difficult for Fernando to get things moving, and we are expecting too much of Goa, but they'll still make the playoffs. I think my playoffs bet is still the same old big teams or whatever you want to call them.
Will the tried and tested top four?
Yes.
All right. What about you, Sandeep? How do you see this team progress forward in this season?
I tend to think along the same lines as Akash has thought and expressed. But it seems like one good thing is the character of that team is very good. Because when they face a problem, they don't fold. When they concede, they don't fold. They push and push, and that's there to see even today after 2 minutes after they conceded, I think they scored. And all those times, I mean, it takes courage to keep going for that goal. When it's so easy that you might concede one more if you push for it. A lot of teams may be half-heartedly pushing and all. But they go for it. Even after they equalize, they don't sit back. It's not like, okay, we saved the game. It's a draw. No, they want to go and win the game. So character-wise, very impressed with that team. Just a matter, can they put in the run together? If they win four games on the trot, right, they're safe. Because everybody around them is equally inconsistent. Like Jamshedpur looks like a decent team. But at some point, they're going to lose. Northeast is slowly fading away now. Can they bounce back? We don't know. BFC, I don't think it will particularly bounce back after this. And Chennai is a lottery. Hyderabad also, they lost three in a row and now they've come back. So at some point, these things have to sort of even out. And I think they'll, with the quality they have, with a striker like Angulo, who provided he stays fit, they'll be fine. They'll manage to get the goals that they need.
Well, that about FC Goa, but there's one more team that we need to discuss. Sandeep, one of your favorite teams, Kerala Blasters. They won a match against Hyderabad, a match that in which Vicuna was forced into a few changes because of the injuries that Kerala had. Do you see things changing for them?
No. So, only because, I mean, I hope it does. They're not going to qualify for top four, I don't think. We don't have to be worried about that.
Uh-huh.
But the fact that they changed a foreign striker who they paid so much money.
That fellow came in with, I don't know what. Because in Wellington, he was not scoring.
Yeah.
But this is the power of social media.
Transfer market, market value. Most valued player. How do you, no man, disrespect.
So the point is like, this is what the clubs do, right? They will make it sound like every player is Lionel Messi. But the point is, you have to look beyond that. Like the moment James Murray came into the in the team instead of Gary Hooper,
right,
suddenly they started playing much better in attack. There is movement in attack. That guy is laying things up. He even scored a goal, which is offside, but he is there and thereabouts.
Right.
And they chucked out a foreign defender also and put an Indian guy. And suddenly their defense was okay, except for the time when that he went to sleep and Jahu hit like a 50-60 yard ball.
Yeah.
It bounced over everybody's head. So
that was quality, man.
Yeah, but you can't get beaten by like that. Like this is
That's the start of the game. It's like
Like just hit the ball from the defense. One striker run behind everyone. So the basic premise is the center back should be the guy who kicks.
I love that goal, man. I love that goal.
To be fair to Kerala, Sandeep, in Chennai versus Mohan Bagan, you had Kotal on the right side and just walked through from a goal kick. So these things can happen to even our national team players. It was really funny.
Chante, you know he's going to miss in front of the goal, dude.
Boom. Yeah, they probably let him go. He's like, ah, too bad. What will you do? But yeah, I mean, Kerala, it doesn't look like, I mean, I don't blame the coach at all. Because he has shown that he can do it in Indian football.
Right?
It's absolutely down to the management. Because at
Which
some
has
point,
been the case for quite some years now.
Yeah, that's why I was telling Akers about the dream I had where I was the TD of Kerala.
Correct.
And then I woke up thinking, can't be worse than what's happening now. <I know. laughs> So, yeah, I mean, that's something that they have to deal with. Yeah, I mean, it's great to have a team like that, right? You have a great stadium,
absolutely.
You have huge fan base. You have more followers on your social media than any other EPL team except the top four or five. That's the amount of reach this team has. All you need to do is get the team right and get them winning. But you were not.
That's not happening.
No.
Like for all non-footballing reasons, they're golden. But when it just comes to the pitch, it's just like, what the fuck?
And like Mumbai just walked around them. Like Chumma sitting and they could have hit some six goals in the first half, I think.
Yeah.
And I think they're just fucking around in the end. Like, you know, Bobo's like, I'm not shooting today. Like Sachin deciding I'm not hitting on the offside today, scoring the century. Yeah. He's like, I'm not shooting today.
Feeling like assist today.
Pass to all the random people in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
From good position, he's like, Bibin, come here. both of the wings. So, they were just fucking around in the end. They could have been much worse.
Well, that about Kerala Blasters, and that brings us to this episode, guys. It's been a fun talk. Few interesting takes on where BFC could head and what we can expect from the ISL in the remainder of this season.
Okay, can I just say, ask this before we end this. Like, who do you think is from the pool of coaches that we know who are going to come into BFC? Because I saw an article, it said quite a few names.
Mm-hmm. Can you send that to me? Like, I know more than two Indian coaches then.
Sorry, that was, I don't know how ESPN, this is that article which mentions Stephen Constantine, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be a miracle unless you know, of Constantine and Sunil Chhetri with the national.
Yeah, unless Chhetri decides to retire. I don't see.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very poor claim.
But then doesn't the TD also kind of decide the coach?
Yeah, but he might not be on the pitch.
But like, honestly, the whole thing is like to play like Roka. Roka was there for 2 years. Mm-hmm. In 1 year, they finished fourth in the league. The second time, they smashed everyone. But like, that's not BFC style of play. If at all anything, it's like 3 years of Ashley Westwood or 2.5 years of Carles, which is the one that you're going with. This 1 year of Roka is when they actually played like, you know, expansive style football, mm-hmm. very entertaining to watch. The other time, they were...
It's very funny. It's very funny that if you look at the two endpoints, one endpoint is at the starting point is a Westwood, who was very pragmatic. Mm-hmm. The other end is Roca, who was very non-pragmatic, and he was very idealistic in his style of play. And Carles is somewhere in the middle. Mm-hmm. So it's neither of them worked out in the long term. Even Westwood was very, very calculated. Like he would just say, "I'm happy with the point here." In this away, because on an average, these
that
number of
a
champion team wins these number of away points, and I'm happy with a point here, even at an ISOL or even at a small team. He is so calculated in his ways. And I think BFC are now a little spoiled by Roca and even the first season of Carles, because their style of play was excellent then and maybe papered over by Miku and all that, and even August. But this club is looking to build on that. Let's see.
Chicago Bulls scene.
Sorry, Chicago Bulls.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about NBA.
It's a dynasty.
Can you give us a 30-second overview for the listeners?
So like, they did well for like 6-7 years and then they just became shit. Like, they were shit earlier, did well, and became shit again.
Because Jordan was there at that time.
Yeah, because Jordan was there. Yeah.
Carrying on the Jordan legacies.
But
this is something in the Last Dance, the series.
Yeah, same. That time was when Chicago was.
I haven't fully watched that. I mean, a couple of episodes only. I ran out of patience for all these documents. There's just too many of them.
But let's just say, I hope they go back to the pragmatic Westwood style football. I used to enjoy that more. Because Roca was like
the active side in Indian football. I don't see like as many, except for Northeast.
Covering Roca matches was damn fun, but sometimes it was scary also, dude. Because he'll be like, either you take it or we are taking it. So take two defenders off, put two strikers on. Well, damn entertaining, though.
Well, we started with BFC. We are ending with BFC. I hope that's a good note, a good omen for the club and also for the show. Thanks a lot, guys, for joining in. And listener, thank you for staying with us all through this while. Like always, you can follow us on all the social media platforms, be it Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We are everywhere at Injury Time IND. Until we bring you the next episode of this podcast, have a great time and enjoy the game.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.